Hey, it's Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Touch Arcade Show, the number one podcast on the entire internet called the Touch Arcade Show. I'm your host.
This is way too energetic.
Yo, man, I bring the pain.
What if someone's listening to this first thing in the morning?
Well, they're going to get woke up like our boy Jared Nelson here. All right, so hold on. I'm joined today by two lovely guests. Eli Hodapp, you just heard him. Eli, say hi to the peeps.
What up, peeps?
What are you, like, head editor, the deputy in chief, the president of TouchArcade.com?
He's the owner of Touch Arcade, apparently.
Oh, no.
And also joined, you just heard his beautiful bearded voice, the lovely staff writer for TouchArcade.com, Jared Nelson.
Hello.
What's up, Jared?
I like to consider me and Jared as equals.
Oh, you're equals now?
Touch Arcade's a very progressive company. We don't have ranks.
Hey, Jared, could you give me a raise?
A raise?
Yeah, just say yes.
No.
What? This is unbelievable. I can't believe I work for you stooges.
I'll let you run the podcast. How's that?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to get into GarageBand. It's going to be awesome. So, yeah, okay, you're listening to basically a reboot of our old podcast. What was that one called, Eli? Eli's Boring Hour? Eli?
The Eli is Boring Hour starring Eli.
Yeah. Well, we're totally rebooting that. We got something called the Touch Arcade Show. It should come out in the same feed. You're hearing it now. This is going to be amazing. It's a reboot, right? So we're gonna do things a little bit differently, kind of like how Eidos or Crystal Dynamics is redoing Tomb Raider, right? So now we're all sleek and sexy. And now we're like we're climbing mountains and we're killing tigers with bows and we're stuck on an island and This is going to be hot, guys. This is going to be hot.
Red's love for Tomb Raider just completely glossed over my mega burn.
See, that's how I go. I just bring the energy and keep going. You can't burn me because I'm going too quick. All right, anyway. All right, so here's what we're doing a little bit differently this time. We're not going to have like a lot of guests on our show just because we don't want to piss on their parade, right? Because at the end of the day, we're critics, and it's kind of weird whenever you're trying to talk around people who make games, like... When you're trying to talk about games critically, you kind of, I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for, Master Eli?
Well, we'll still do interview-y kind of stuff, but we'll probably break it out as a second.
Absolutely.
A supplemental podcast on the same feed.
Absolutely. So when we do talk to people, we are going to bust out on the same feed as a separate podcast. You'll get to hear the entire interview and things like that. But, you know, we don't want to mess with anybody's pudding. That's how I'm going to put it. We don't mess with anybody's pudding while they're on the show. Just because conversation gets weird and we can't steer it wherever because, you know, we have a guest on. We have to respect those guys and make sure we bring our A game. But on this podcast, we can bring our D game. It don't matter. That's why we got Jared on the show.
I'm operating at about a C game level today.
C game level? Yeah, you be the traveling man lately. And just real quickly, the other thing we're probably going to be doing is like the idea, like my grand idea of the Touch Arcade Show is really to give you, the listener, an idea of who we are and how who we are informs our work, right? And we're also going to talk about a lot of cool stuff, like the latest iOS releases, and hey, we might even have an engaging discussion or two, depending on how inebriated I am.
At 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Well, it's not 11. We're on the opposite coast, too, so Red has already had several cups of coffee, went to the gym, walked his cat. What else do you do, Brad?
That's pretty much it. It's a lot of going to the gym. Actually, I can't lift today. I feel bad. I messed up my back the other day. And, you know, I went to see...
Taking fistfuls of vitamins. I forgot that.
Yeah, my synthesis 6. But, yo, okay, so I went to see Fast 5. And, like, The Rock and Vin Diesel are in that. And those guys are, like, my mom and dad, right? Like, I just love these two cats. And I just really wanted to work out after I saw that movie. But then I couldn't. I can't lift anything right now or else I'll just keep messing up my back.
It's truly a first world problem if I've ever heard one.
Hey, you know, I got to get bigger. It's always a thing. Oh, yeah. Did we talk about everything with the new show? This is the new show, by the way. Welcome. We're just going to talk about other things.
Diesel and The Rock.
Yeah.
This is what this show's about.
You guys want to talk about other podcasts? Because I tell you what, I really love the Savage podcast.
Oh, my God. I like Stuff You Should Know and Judge John Hodgman.
Nice. Kiss and Tell podcast isn't bad either. I just love hearing people air their dirty, dirty, terrible secrets. It's just hilarious to me. Because a lot of people do a lot of freaky shit. I'm just going to come out and say it. A lot of people do crazy things.
Mm.
All right, fine. I see how this is going. All right. So We're going to have about three or four segments in every podcast. Our first one's going to be like, hey, what are you playing? And we're going to talk about the newest releases. And because we're releasing on Friday, we're going to get a hold of some of the brand hot new Zealand releases. We'll be able to work that into the conversation as well. Third segment.
Well, by Friday, there'll be American releases too. So
I guess. But you know what? Maybe sometimes we'll release on Thursday, which will make the whole, hey, it's Friday thing kind of weird. But you know what? It's all right.
Always Friday somewhere.
Yeah. The gist is, though, that we're talking about the new hottest games because we're in this little release slot. Third segment, we're going to discuss some news or just like editorial and stuff like that. Things we've done on TouchArcade.com will directly reference those stories. So make sure you're at TouchArcade.com to read these things to get some kind of background on what we're doing. And our very last segment will be your feedback, right? So that's kind of hard to do on the first episode because, hell, you know, majority of you didn't know that we were doing this.
I will give feedback.
Oh, yeah, you'll give feedback. I got some feedback for Eli's boring show hour, TouchArcade.com, his previous podcast. Can we talk about that at the end?
Yes.
I'm just gonna keep giving you shit about it. I'm just going to keep going. Just keeping it. That was a lovely podcast. I'm glad we're bringing it back because now we all get to talk and be bros again. It's kind of like GDC all over again, isn't it?
Yes. Every day of my life is GDC, just like every day of my life is also BizCaz Fry.
What?
Yeah.
I'm lost. I'm out.
Jared knows what I'm talking about.
BizCaz Fry?
Yeah. See, he don't know either.
Business Casual Friday, Brad.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. I only wear wife beaters, so I don't even pay attention to that. That
Someone's counts. Never worked in an office before.
Nope. I've been a stay-at-home worker for a really long time. It's kind of sad.
Stay-at-home dad to your cat.
Yeah, absolutely. To my two cats. I mean, like Hannibal and Genghis the Mighty, they ain't going to feed themselves. You know what I mean? I mean, they're just not.
They could.
No.
Do they lift weights?
No, I wish. Though Hannibal is 16 pounds now, which I'm very proud of because she carries it well.
Yeah. And you feed these cats protein powder or?
No, just the cheap Chinese food that they give out at Walmart, cheap.
You know? Shredded newspaper.
Yeah, lice, poison, things like that, whatever. You know, they eat it, they like it. Hannibal be growing. You know, I can't complain. So yeah, okay, let's go ahead and switch like gears totally, and let's
switching gears from cats to games.
The cats
actually isn't much of a gear switch at all because they are so closely tied together.
Yeah, did anybody play a game with a cat in it so I can have a smooth segue?
I played House of Mice, which has a cat in it.
Yeah, speaking of cats, Eli has played House of Mice.
Yeah,
which has a cat in it.
It's a pretty cool game. I mean, like the idea, it looks at first glance, you know, like every other, you know, get three stars, do something on your phone that involves swiping games, mm-hmm. You know, but it's actually pretty cool. You like fling these little mice balls around and explode a cat at the end of the level, which doesn't make any sense to me.
How nasty is this explosion?
Well, it just, you know, it's like a cartoon kind of burn, like, you know, it turns black and it looks surprised.
That's kind of unfortunate. I'd really love some Unreal Engine like bones and sinew and meat.
Well, the game is really good, but I just can't get behind. Like, why wouldn't the cat just eat the mice when it gets close to them? I tweeted this at the developer, and I didn't get a response. I think they thought I was being snide, but I really was genuinely curious.
Tetra Kate asked the hard questions. If he replies, please let me spin that out into a news post.
Okay. I mean, like, the premise is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I'm down with the mice getting the cheese. That makes sense.
Yeah.
The mice running into the cat to kill it.
So you like it? And how much is it? Was it like $1?
Yeah, it's $1. I mean, it's if you like, you know, those like easy pick up and play kind of casual games that have systems where, you know, you can play through the level very quickly and easily or go back and, you know, try to get all the stars or in this case, cheeses, you know.
Have you ever do that? By the way, I never have. I don't care. After I beat a level, I do not care.
Sometimes I do. It depends how close I was to getting all three whatevers, like when I played through it originally. Because if it just seems impossible, I don't have the patience for that.
No. I mean, I try to do it in Angry Birds, but I'm just like, all right, whatever. I'm done with you. But, physics engine.
You know, if it's one of those situations where it's like, oh, man, that was so close. Like, I'll retry it. But other than that, no.
It's crazy. I'm pretty OCD when it comes to that. I always like to, and I'm like the I got to get 3 stars before I move on person too. So I'll sit there on the same level my first playthrough and just go for it. Oh, but I guess it depends on the game too, though, you know.
I've never been kind of an achievement kind of person. Like, I know people that like cannot like put a Xbox 360 game back in the case until they've like, you know, gotten the 1,000 achievement points.
And that's crazy.
I've never been a person that cared about that. So similarly, the 3-star thing doesn't do too much for me.
I almost wonder if that speaks to how stupid Game Center is. You know, at least with Xbox Live or Microsoft in general, they say, yo, this game has 1,000 points. Every other game also has 1,000 points. Like, these are meaningful points because of this, right? There's a standard there. There's a set. But Game Center, you can do whatever, right? You can
well, put... At the same time, though, I mean, Microsoft has so much more oversight over Xbox 360 games than Game Center.
Well, I mean, Apple can say, yo, every game has 100 points. Right, I mean, they can.
I think every game has a maximum number of achievements. I'm not sure. It's such a like wild and crazy like non-standard thing that you know.
Exactly.
Well, it's just weird. You can get points for achievements, but they have no tally of your total points or anything like that with like to compare with friends. What they do is you can compare the amount of achievements you've got. So it's like if you've got 100 achievements, you compare that to your buddies instead of like the point value of them all. Which kind of
I don't think you. Find anyone that would argue against the fact that Game Center feels very 1.0 or very beta even, you know?
It feels very 1980s to me with the whole, like, billiards kind of look and stuff. Like, what's going on there? Who thought
that?
Is that
what you were doing in the 80s? Playing
billiards? Hey, dude, I did a lot of crazy shit in the 80s, and pool was one of those things. It was either meth and pool. I mean, I was all over the place, guys.
You were like 2 or 3.
Absolutely. And speaking of babies, let's talk about Infinity Blade. I don't know. I'm just stretching for... This is how every segue is going to go, by the way. It's just going to be completely
every segue will be forced, regardless.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to drive right through it. Maybe someday I'll get good. I don't know. I've been podcasting for a couple of years, and I'm still no good at it. But hey, people, listen to me, right? Okay, so I've been playing Infinity Blade more. The new update that added a multiplayer came out, right? And that was all right. I wrote about it briefly on our website, and it's self-contained, so none of the bullshit that they've added into the game recently, just in terms of like the crazy new weapons and the ability to buy gold and stuff. That stuff doesn't matter. So you go into multiplayer, you pick a new weapon, you pick new armor, and then you fight a dude 4 times or 3 out of what is it like? Best out of 5, I think, total. So you beat a dude 3 times, and the entire time you're buying new weapon and equipment with the money that you earn, and vice versa. And then you switch to being a troll, or a monster, or whatever like crazy contraption that Cher created for the game, like monsters, basically, right? And I thought this was the coolest part, and not even just because it was fun, but it's the controls for the monsters themselves. It's like you can see the AI and like the innards of it. And you kind of feel like a weird puppet master while you're controlling this, because it's real mechanical. So you have to like bring a slider up and down to control your attack speed, and then you swipe on your screen. But also there's like different buttons that you can hit. It's just like a command center. You can kind of like see just the guts of the AI. It's pretty wild. But basically, I've just been playing the normal game again. Like, I'm on like Bloodline 21, and just. I'm just doing the same thing over and over again. I'm just grinding out gold to buy the new stuff. I don't know why I get stuck in these weird moods where I just, like... I know loot lust exists. It is a thing. You know, we've been talking about it since Diablo, but I don't really get wrapped up in it a lot, but damn, does Infinity Blade have me. And I don't know if it's just the convenience of the iPad or not. It's just, like, I'm playing it again, and I can't stop.
Do you ever feel compelled to purchase gold, though, using the in-app purchase system?
No, hell no, man. Like, I accidentally clicked on it the other day, and thank God they have a confirmation screen. It was like $50 for some weird amount of gold. It's like $50. Somebody actually buys $50.
What was weird is I saw an interview online where the actual idea behind the implementation of that was based on user feedback, which just seems crazy.
Well, I mean, like, that was a convenient excuse to lay it on the community, is what that was. I guarantee it. Two dudes were like, I would like to buy gold, and they were like, hey, we would like you to buy gold, too. Let's put this in the game and say you said so.
See, I don't know. I mean, like, I really wonder sometimes, like, how vocal of a minority the whole in-app purchase-hating crowd is. I mean, because I can see there being people out there that are like, hey, I enjoy this game, but I just flat out do not have the 80 hours required to grind up the gold to get, you know, something I could just give you $2 extra for.
No, and you're right. And I don't mind that developers do it. They've been doing it in the console space. EA used to sell cheat codes, essentially, in their games through Xbox Live Marketplace.
I don't think that's necessarily unreasonable.
No, no, it's fine. I mean, it's like, if you need that push because you don't want to spend 3 billion years doing something, fine. Just make sure that the balance in the game isn't, like, broken because of that. Like, that's the only thing I worry about, because a lot of developers just can't handle that. Like,
I was worried about the online component. I mean, we talked about that, you know, being affected by the... you know, you didn't want to get owned by someone that bought $50 worth of gold and has all the best stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you know, thank goodness it's not the case. And it looks like that's probably what they were planning the entire time. But Jared, you ever get stuck on a game forever? I know there's a couple games that you play quite a bit, like, but they're asynchronous, right?
Disk driving.
Disk driving still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I just can't get into disk driving.
I can't either. I have tried.
Because both Arn and Jared are always talking about it nonstop.
Why do you think you're not digging it?
I don't know. It just doesn't do much for me.
Well, it does. I feel
like I have to wait too long to make my turns, and I've lost interest in it.
Really?
In the time that comes back.
That attention. Because span like. Is- Sure.
I don't know. I mean, well, what's weird is that, like, I like Words with Friends, you know, like, that works with Words with Friends, but I think that because disc driving seems like an action-based game, it's, like, irritating to, you know, have your little, you know, your one swipe, and then being like, oh, yeah, I did so good, and then it's like, all right, well, I guess check back tomorrow.
Well, I guess it depends on who you play with, too, because, like, for example, me and Arn will... get into games where it's back and forth. I mean, we'll finish two or three games over the course of a couple of hours where it feels almost like real time, you know, but you're still taking quick turns. But then I have other games that I even forget are going because someone hasn't taken their turn in like 5 days. But it's to me, it's like a nice surprise. It's like, oh yeah, that game. Where was I? What's going on? And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'm winning. Good.
Well, I think another thing that I don't like about it is that since you are playing with so many people, I get the push alert that says it's my turn, and it's like I feel this like really urgent need to take my turn, because if I don't, I'm holding up like four other people.
These are insecurities you need to get over.
But like with Words with Friends, it's like if you don't take your turn, it's only one other person that, you know, you're inconveniencing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, majority of my games in disc driving are one-on-one anyway.
It's like, but I know how serious you and Arnold are, and like I get the little push alert and it's like, oh my god, I know they're just sitting there going like, dude, take your turn, and I'm like driving my car or something.
No, it's not like that at all, but I think it'd be interesting if they had more of a real time, you know, you could do either or, for the people that are like, well, I got 20 minutes to spend on a game, so I want to play back and forth right away, one after the other, you know.
Yeah.
And did either of you play the Stickman Golf multiplayer?
I didn't.
It's cool. It's I think still free right now, but the multiplayer in that is, you'd think of a golf game where it's asynchronous is kind of what lends itself best to it, because you're taking golf turns, you know.
Right.
But this one's, it's like real time. So you're playing, you're choosing your shot, and then in the background's kind of a little ghost of the buddy taking his shot. So you see them playing at the same time, and it like adds this cool aspect to it where you're like freaking out because you see the guys getting close and you're far behind, and you're like, oh great, yeah, I gotta go and make a good shot, you know. And it's like you throw four people in the mix, and it's pretty much the funnest thing. But
funnest thing ever, or just the funnest thing?
Funnest thing out of a long time.
Yeah. Must have killer app of the year.
Is it highly polished though?
It's a mixed bag. Eli, it's a mixed
bag.
It,
would you say that you are feeling addicted to it?
It's addicting. It's addictively polished, I guess.
It's for fans of the genre, basically.
So
is what
the developer
saying.
Was absolutely addicted to polishing it, which turned as.
He's talking about dicks, folks.
No.
Okay. Speaking of dicks, let's talk about Touch Grind BMX. Jared, you've been playing that?
Yeah, I played it for far too long last night, but. Man, that game is cool.
It was actually a really good segue.
Was it?
Yeah, because most BMX riders I know are dicks, so.
I didn't know you were big in that scene, bro.
It took me a minute to think about it.
Well, there you go. Sometimes I inadvertently strike gold. So
no, because, you know, I was like a skateboarder kid growing up, you know, and I always had that rivalry with BMX riders, or at least
in no way, man. You get along with the bikers, you don't get along with the rollerbladers. That's how this.
Oh no, see, it was the opposite in the Chicago
say
area.
Say what? Oh really?
Yeah.
You guys are just back assward over there.
Okay. Hold on, we got back up a little bit. Okay, so Touch Grind BMX is it like the skateboard game? Because I remember Eli was telling me I had to write a post about Touch Grind once, and I don't know what the hell it was. And Eli was telling me about the skateboard game that would look cool or something like that. Is it like that? Like,
did you try Touch Grind at all? Or
yeah, I played it for a few seconds, but I'm trying to get a sense of like where BMX factors into that, like as a genre game.
It's really similar to Touch Grind, the first one actually, because you use your two fingers to manipulate the bike. And it's weird. It's like, I don't know. You've never really felt that kind of ability to like control something with your fingers like that. I mean, no other games really have that. And it's hard though too. It's hard to get the hang of. But
that's how the original Touch Grind was. I mean, that's why initially I didn't like the game, is because I loaded it up and was like, oh, this is cool. I'm just bumping into crap on my skateboard.
Yeah. Well, but one of the big things is Touch Grind was. It was top down, and so you couldn't see anything. You like had this tiny screen, and it was the whole board took up the whole screen. So you're like relying
actually a lot
on these,
better on the iPad.
The iPad version, yeah, it's zoomed out a lot more. But the original one, you're like relying on these awkward icons that are trying to tell you when like objects are coming up, and you kind of guess. Yeah. And so the BMX one is it's zoomed back. It's kind of like third person, right behind the bike, and you can see ahead of you where you're going and everything, and man, it's so much better.
Yeah,
so much better.
The camera angle is a million times better.
Mm-hmm. I wish they could figure out how to transfer that to Touch Grind, because
you know what kind of creeped me out about it is I wish that like you had like a extremely transparent like rider on your bike, you know, that you could just like see doing the tricks and stuff, because it's like
a couple people commented on that. They were like, a bike that's no one's riding it, but it's like, you know, it's
Because like the touch grind thing, I mean, it was conceivable that was a fingerboard, but like you know, this is just like a ghost bike.
Yeah,
which
yeah, it is weird.
It's okay, you know. I don't know how.
Well,
you
I just use my imagination, Eli.
I'm just thinking about ghost bikes now. Like, is that like the new Mongoose? Like, you go to Walmart to buy a ghost bike with pegs on the back?
No, your bike is actually haunted with the spirit of a angry BMX biker.
A dick.
Yeah. Someone that is not very nice to you.
So,
you skateboard.
Overall, you're digging it. And, you know, this is a pretty popular series, too, right? Didn't you tell me it was, like, crazy popular, Eli?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can basically blindly purchase anything that Illusion Labs releases.
Oh, okay, it's Illusion Labs. Yeah, those guys are pretty hip.
Yeah, I mean, they don't release many games, but the ones that they do are, like, you can tell that they've spent months and months just, you know, like, tweaking every little thing that can be tweaked to make it as close to perfect as possible.
They polish them.
Yeah, they are addicted to polishing as well.
Oh, man. Okay, I guess I should quickly mention, I've been playing the third episode of Back to the Future for the iPad. You know, it's just like, I've been playing for an hour, and it's just like nothing but setup still, like, which is what annoys me with these games so much, because I don't know why Telltale Games believes this, but I mean, every game acts like you've never played a Back to the Future game before. Like, the first game, I understand, like, walking me through tutorial bits and, like, huge chunks of setup and, like, how to interact with the game. But, like, then episode 2 did it, and then episode 3 did it, and then episode 4 did it. It's just like, stop. I get it. Like, if you're playing episode 3 before episode 1, you're just retarded. I mean, and you shouldn't help that person. You shouldn't.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. You should just leave him to die. I mean, it's just like, that's ridiculous. So like, I'm an hour in, but one thing I could say is, this is the first Telltale game I've not had to reboot my entire iPad just to play.
What kills me about this is they look so bad. Like, I don't know how everyone else has figured out how to make, you know, like, reasonably good-looking 3D games. But Telltale games look like, you know, a PC game running at 800 by 600 in, like, 1995.
Yeah, well, you know
that
what?
Runs at the identical frame rate on your iPad.
It was hilarious. Like, I won't name the outlet or the person. One time I got yelled at because I said that, and it wasn't for this site, because I said that Telltale was just reusing their Mac engine, because that's what it looks like, right? It looks like they just downscaled the hell out of their Mac engine and threw it on an iPad, because they're pretty similar.
Well, yeah, that's not necessarily, you know, out of the ordinary, I think.
Yeah, exactly. But I was actually correct. They were like, nah, this is brand new. This is totally new ground up stuff. And that game that we were talking about was Sam & Max. They're by far their worst game.
Right. No, yeah, that was terrible. I mean, they didn't even continue the series on that. It was so bad.
Exactly. And then the same with Wallace and Gromit and stuff. So, like, I don't know exactly what they're doing. I really don't. Like, if this is actually, like, their own kind of, like, I hesitate to use the word even framework, because, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about at this point.
Yeah.
But... I mean,
who
whatever
even
doing,
knows if they're doing it in house, you know?
Exactly. Whatever they're doing, it just doesn't work. And it's weird. It works, but, I mean, it just doesn't look that great. And it's unfortunate, because these games are pretty sharp. Back to the Future is by far, on other platforms, the best-looking Telltale game thus far. And Jurassic Park looks even better than that, and I can't wait to play Jurassic Park on my iPad. God, it's going to be amazing. Hopefully they release it. I don't know if they confirmed that yet.
Didn't they say that they're bringing all their games to the iPad? All their planned games?
I don't know. I don't even know if they have the bandwidth for that, to be honest. Because obviously they've had trouble delivering in the past. Like, is the Tales from Monkey Island game not up yet? I was told a couple weeks ago, actually, that was episode 2 and 3 were going to go up, like, last week or something, but I don't think they did.
I think it's just the first one right now, isn't it? Yeah, just the first one.
Yeah, okay, so I mean, obviously they're struggling, right? Like, I have no idea what their bandwidth woes are.
Well, it could just be the situation of, you know, they have, like, one guy that's, like, their App Store guy, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely possible.
And he gets, like, you know, work shoveled on top of his desk, and, mm-hmm. I mean, that probably is not unreasonable to think.
No, I mean, like, who knows? But, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, it's running better than any other Telltale game I've seen thus far, which is crazy. I didn't have to reboot the iPad to get it to work, and it's running pretty well. No chugging so far, which Episode 2 had a lot of that. I think I don't know if I ended up complaining about it in the end, because sometimes it's hard to tell. It's, like, real device-specific. But, you know, no crazy chugging problems. Obviously, no sound errors. Like, I think Episode 2 had some sound problems, too.
And you know what's crazy is if this is a product of them, like, updating their game engine and stuff like that, why haven't they released updates to the other ones? I mean, because, like, if you download the first Back to the Future Episode 1 and play it, you are, unless you really get sucked into the whole Back to the Future universe and story and everything else, you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, let me spend $7 on another game that runs terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and then $7 on a third game that runs terrible.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. But yeah, it looks, I mean, I guess overall, it looks all right. I can't wait to play more of it. We'll write something up on the website later today as I dig more into it. And it won't be a full
review.
By
the time this goes out, it will be yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Oops, forgot about that. Time continuum shift problems. Yes, so by the time you hear this, rather, you'll have read it on the website, or you can read it on the website. My impression.
That's a great segue from Back to the Future to a kind time continuum problem.
Hey, there you go. There
good
you
job.
Go. Eli, what else you play? You play something else?
Give me a good one, baby. Well, that Anodia game? I don't know how you pronounce it. What do you guys think?
Anodia?
A-N-O-D-I-A.
What?
I would say Anodia.
Whatever.
It's a brick breaking game, I guess, but it's totally different. Like, they added, like, a bunch of power ups and stuff like that. So I don't know, it's cool. I'm really only, like, in first two levels, but I'm impressed so far, so I can't really intelligently speak on it.
Yeah, good first impressions. And
we should have a review probably by the time this goes out as well, too, I think.
Hot.
So yeah, oh, hang on, let me come up with a good segue. So, you know, I'm going to try to speed run through playing it.
Oh, and speaking of speed runs, Jared, you played, Moss?
Well, it's been recently confirmed in the forums that it's Moz.
Moz?
Moz speed run.
Okay,
Oz.
And audience, please keep in mind this is spelled M-O-S.
Yeah, but apparently you say Moz. I've been saying Moz. Because most Eisley, I guess, but most
speedrun. Yeah, exactly.
So, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I play that game quite a bit. It's good. It's real good, man. It's like one of those games where, kind of what we were talking about earlier, where you just retry over and over until you get it perfect. Get all the stars, get all the achievements, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's good. But I the first couple weeks, it's been out for like a month or so, I think. And the first couple of weeks, I was like going back and forth with this guy. I mean, I was all proud of myself. I was getting ready to write the review for it and stuff. And I like aced all the leaderboards. So I'm like at the top of them. It doesn't happen often. So I'm just like, yeah. And then this guy on Game Center tops my scores. And I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. So I jump in there and I go and I get better scores and I top him. And it would literally be like a couple hours would pass and then I would check in on Game Center and he'd already beat my scores again. And I'm just like, so we got in this battle back and forth. We're exchanging the number one spot. And that was one of the things that really like hooked me into playing it, was competing for the times like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was fun. And then and now all the hackers took over, and so now there's a bunch of fake scores, and it kind of ruined it. But
yeah, that's a bummer, man. Like that happens on consoles too. But isn't that crazy how we can still get in like these little leaderboard battles even in like 2011?
Yeah, like, I mean,
nowhere near good enough at most video games to.
No, me neither. I mean, 90% of the time, I'm like, oh, cool, I'm in the top 10,000. You know, that's
yeah,
pretty good,
that,
right?
It's so irritating. You think you did awesome. You submit your high score, and it's like, oh, cool, I'm 20,312.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's I was especially proud to be number one for a little bit there, have a crown for a minute. But, yeah, most Moz Speedrun is one of the better platformers. Everyone loves, like, League of Evil and stuff, but I really like this one. I like this one better, actually.
All right.
Oh, no, I don't mean to make this awkward, but if someone could discuss cats again.
all right, so let's...
How about them cats, guys?
How about them cats?
Speaking of cats, I have been playing two very similar games made by different authors. Are you guys familiar with the, I don't know how you pronounce it, the Nyan Cat?
What?
The yes. Cat that's a Pop-Tart with a rainbow.
Coming out of those.
I have no concept of what you're talking about right now. I'm just imagining a Pop-Tart with a cat face.
All right, and a rainbow. There's, here, actually, let me bring them up on iTunes, because they're named irritatingly, so on your phone you just have, like, the period.
One's like Nyan Cat Lost in Space.
Is that how we pronounce it?
I say Nyan, I don't know.
I said Nyan. Neon Cat?
What's this even a play on? Like, what are they trying to do?
Anyway,
be like super internet?
There's the Neon Cat Lost in Space, and then just Neon Cat. And then there's a third app called Pop-Tart Cat, which I haven't bothered to download. But anyway.
Bot.
So, Neon Cat Lost in Space. Let's see. I have sound on, so this might be irritating. So, this isn't... Yeah, see, they don't use the real music. Like, the vital part of the whole cat thing is that you have the real music, but this is just, you know, like someone did like an 8-bit remix of it, I guess. That is Nyan Cat Lost in Space, and on that, it's like a weird platformer where you're jumping around collecting things as the Pop-Tart cat with the rainbow coming out of your back, and you pick up like ice cream cones and donuts and stuff with power-ups and things like that. Then there's the other Unity-based Nyan Cat, which is free. The other one is 99 cents. However, this one has in-app purchase, so if in-app purchase makes you angry, you should avoid it. And this one also doesn't have the right music. One of them had the right music, but it got updated and taken out, I guess. So,
I think it's weird there's all those versions, because does that mean they are just going rogue and like gung-ho?
I don't know, but now
that a game without permission...
The point that I was trying to reach was that one of them has the correct music, but it's since been updated and taken out, so this entire segment was useless. Woo. So anyone that's listening, I just wasted about 3 minutes of your time.
Well, speaking of cats...
Nice!
No, did you see that thing? I posted a video for that Techno Kitten Adventures.
Yeah!
Did you check that out? Oh, yes. Man. So apparently that came out last year on Xbox Indie Games, and that predates the Nyan Cat games, and a lot of people were saying that the little cat characters look similar, and they kind of thought that the Nyan kind of spawned off from someone playing the Techno Kitten. But anyway, that Techno Kitten looks wild. And
see, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if you can attribute one to the other. I mean, they're both about cats.
It's true. The Techno one is It looks like more of an iCopter game. I haven't played it on Xbox. I should probably check it out.
Wait, an iCopter?
Yeah.
Yeah, like a cave game, Jared means.
Yeah, cave, flyers, whatever.
Okay, I was imagining an eyeball with blades for a second. Okay, I got you.
That's a good idea for a game.
They said that they were going to invite us to a test flight, but I haven't.
Yeah, still waiting on that. You hear that, Techno Kitten? Answer our calls.
Well, if this comes out in the future, they might have already. So if you have already, we apologize for the instance.
True.
So I moved to LA recently, and there's lots of potholes, so the road is very bumpy.
Hey, how about those bumpy roads?
Was that too forced?
No, that was fantastic. Jared, you played Bumpy Road. Let's go.
So Bumpy Road was just came out from Simogo. Man, I'm full of all these names we can't pronounce.
Simogo, as in, like, Sime as in Simon.
Well, that's one of the guys' names, Simon, and then the other is something to do with Go, I imagine. But anyway,
this is the problem with the App Store, is there's 80 billion developers, so people have to start naming their shit like this.
Like after their own name.
Well, they're just making up stuff, really.
That is really outlandish, Brad.
Well, Simogo, whatever it is, they came out with Bumpy Road. They did Cosmos Fin before, and they also worked on Ilomilo. There's another one. I don't know.
Ilomilo,
yeah.
Ilomilo. So, but anyway, these guys have like the boss art style because I don't know. There's just something about all their art that looks, it's just so, I don't know, cute, I guess. It's so cute. And they came out with Bumpy Road, which I hadn't seen any game use this before, where your little car driving along, kind of like Cannonball, whatever, moves automatically, and you touch the ground and it creates a bump. And so you actually are touching the ground and manipulating this bump, kind of like you can, you know, move it around like a wave almost. And so you push the car back and forth, and then you can bump up right below it, and it'll jump in the air. And so it's like a platformer, but you don't control the car itself, you control the ground around it. And I hadn't really seen anything use that certain mechanic before. So right away when we saw that game, it was just kind of like, wow, this is interesting, you know? And so the game finally came out, and it's really fun. It's hard to get the hang of, and some people aren't getting it, but I got it after a little while. And
I'm not very good at it, but I still have fun because, like, when you click it, it makes, you know, it's like a piano keyboard, which is...
Yeah. Yeah, all the, like, the music and the sound effects and the art all, like, really come together really cohesively to just make, like, a really fun little game, whether you're good at it or not. But you do kind of get used to the controls and you get better at it. I played it a lot, and eventually you start, you know, pulling off these cool moves and you start getting all proud of yourself and stuff like that. So it's really satisfying, but it's one of those games that's probably... Some people might not pick up on it, but the ones that do, I think, have really been enjoying it. So,
no, I think it's a cool game. I would recommend a purchase because it's one of those games that's like, you know, you play it and you're like, wow, why didn't someone think of this before? Which is kind of rare.
Yeah, totally.
In the App Store world where everything's like a clone of something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So it's a unique one. And it's addicting. Right. And
I would say it's a uniquely addictive polished gem that
it's a hidden gem.
Hidden,
nice. That was a new one, actually. just real quick, we're gonna take our mid podcast break. When we come back around, we're gonna talk a little bit about the news, Minecraft, big Minecraft news, and also we're gonna talk a little bit about our E3 and WWDC plans, or at least talk about that. We're gonna be there. How about that? We're gonna mention that we're gonna be there at the very least. So join us right around the bend.
But you already mentioned that just now. So what's the point of mentioning it again?
What are you talking about?
The WWDC get E3 mention.
I just wanted to mention that we're going to mention that in the
future.
Oh,
fuck. Okay, I see what I did there. Oh, well.
You're fine, Brad.
Oh, well. All right.
Eli's trolling you, so.
He is trolling me. Went all internet on my ass. I was confused because I was like, this guy's my bro. Why he internetting me like this? And he's not doing it. He's not doing it. I must have actually messed up. And then lo and behold, Eli, you interneted me.
It's not like the time zone thing you screwed up.
Oh,
Brad.
Dude, I don't want to hear about time zones. I'm done with time zones.
I laughed so hard at my witty response to that, and I don't think anyone else did.
Break. right, hey, discussion time. We're back. I hope you didn't miss us during that amazing musical interlude that you heard a second ago. Hopefully it was 15 seconds or less. If it was longer than that, I apologize.
I think it should be much longer. I think we should play an entire album.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking of Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yeah.
The entire thing. And then they get to hear the rest of this. The Touch Arcade Segway Show podcast about cats and mixed bags.
Speaking of which, lately I've been seeing a lot of 3D movies, Brad.
Man, we are nailing it tonight. We are nailing it. All right, so one of the news stories that caught my eye, and it caught your eye too, is this little program called i3D came out for on the App Store for free. It's essentially just a proof of concept tool. What it does is it uses your iPhone or your iPad 2's front-facing camera to, I can't get into the techno babble here, but somehow it uses that front-facing...
It tracks your head somehow.
Yeah, like, it tracks your head and makes you think you're seeing 3D images, right?
It tracks your head to assume where your eyes are coming from, and then it adjusts the image accordingly to make it seem like it's 3D.
There you go. And like, I thought that was pretty cool, right? Like, it's cool tech, and obviously we're...
Yeah, it's a neat tech demo. Like, what was crazy about this is, like, the fact that we posted this, like, made people angry.
Oh, you know, and, like, we did a little bit of speculation, too, a little bit editorializing, which I thought was perfectly clear by the fact
I told you to do that. I was like, you know... What would be good here, since this is conceivably 3D?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand the pedantic people out there. This is not, you know, 3D stereo 3D. It's not. But
absolutely, and we mentioned that too.
The effects.
Like, these two things don't translate to each other. But I think, and I guess our larger point was, what does this mean, just in terms of the 3DS versus the iPhone? Right. Like, one thing the 3DS can do, obviously, is 3D. And the iPhone just can't. I mean, it doesn't have the screen. But now we have this kind of, like, weird tool that maybe we can trick ourselves into seeing 3D, right? So does that mean that a developer's vision, like, just their overall vision of whatever 3D thing that they want to do, can that be translated now? I'm not talking about ported. I'm talking about just translating that vision to an iPad the same, not the same, but... relatively the same way as you would do a 3DS with its tools. And I thought that was kind of a cool piece of speculation, because what does that mean for 3DS at the end of the day? It's like, you know, 99-cent 3D games versus $40 3D games, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely
think it's really
interesting to see what will come of their little download store. I mean, like we mentioned before discussing it, when they announced the date, I think.
Yeah, June 7th.
You mentioned that. It could just be a testbed for iOS games, kind of like PSP, what are they called? PSP
Minis. Yeah.
They basically all come over to the App Store after their little exclusivity period was up.
Yeah, you know, like, that's another thing, too. I mean, the eShop, Nintendo, hey, I'll go ahead and say it, Nintendo's really bad at supporting its developers, and developers have been treating the service as well as, like, a testbed for themselves. Like, they make these crap games so they can show Microsoft and Sony that they can make games, like they're able to actually publish and develop games, and they try to get contracts from it from there. That's how people have been treating that service, because there's no support structure, there's no bar for quality. Nintendo doesn't vet this stuff.
As a game developer, just saying that you have a store that there are a game that's available on the Nintendo store is, you know,
exactly
something that you can then brag about to other people.
Exactly. And but at the same rate, like, that's what raises questions about the 3DS shop. It's just like the eShop for the DS, or whatever they call it, DSiWare, whatever, is trash. That thing is full of, like, 99% of trash.
Oh, yeah, terrible. I mean, like, the best thing on there is, isn't there a Flight Control port now?
Yeah. It's Flight Control, there's Cave Story, there's a couple good ones in there. But, I mean, it's all trash, like, relatively, like, 99% of it is.
Well, the whole DS library right now is, they have the good Nintendo first-party games and some good third-party games, but... the checkout lines at Walmart now have the $9 shovelware DS games as impulse buy items, you know.
Or even at the grocery store, I've seen them.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. I've seen $10 Xbox 360 games at Big Lots. I was looking for lawn furniture the other day, just trying to score a cool deal, and I went into Big Lots, which is a Midwest-South thing. I don't know, is it on?
Okay,
so it's nationwide at least. So, yeah, we went into this chain, which is usually notorious for just selling crap products at cheap prices. I mean, like, I was just looking for, you know, crappy lawn chairs or whatever. And I saw that they were selling, God, what was it? Blur. It was Blur for $10 right by the register. That was the it's Xbox 360 joint by Bizarre Creations, which is now shuttered. Great game. $10 right by the register.
Cool story, bro.
Thanks.
Anyway,
I was talking about the DS stuff, and I thought I'd relate a story. You went internet on me again.
No, well, what I think is so interesting about that, and you know, this is kind of getting on a tangent now, but people have what they say about the App Store versus the Nintendo downloaded games is that Nintendo is a highly curated kind of thing. You need your Nintendo seal of approval and all that stuff. I mean, that was what brought Nintendo back from the big 80s video game crash, was that. But now it seems like that's not necessarily the case anymore.
Because they welcome shovelware now.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I would almost say there's just as much shovelware on the Nintendo systems now as there is on the App Store. I mean, yeah, obviously there's a magnitude of difference because of the number of things on the App Store, but you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, ratio-wise, it's. I mean, there's very few good games. And the other thing is that the eShop or the DSi shop, or even the virtual console on the Wii, are just such a pain in the ass to navigate.
Oh, they're terrible.
Oh my, how has Nintendo not figured that out yet? You know what I mean? It's like, let me scroll to page 30 to get to the new games or whatever. Yeah. And it's stupid.
I mean, it'll be really interesting to see what comes of this. I mean, because I think developers have just so much better visibility on the App Store because of, the featuring process as opposed to just being filtered into whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, as crowded as the App Store is, and there is a lot of clutter with a bunch of, crappy stuff, it's still so much easier to navigate and find what you need either through a feature or even if someone tells you, hey, you should check out this game, you can find it. You can just search for it or whatever. It's real easy. But if someone told me, some obscure little title on the DSi shop, I wouldn't know where to go to get it. It would be an hour-long process just to find it and download it.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, the UI design on the 3DS itself is pretty reminiscent of even the virtual console stuff like that. So I wouldn't be too surprised if the eShop was pretty damn close to what we saw before. But I think Nintendo's said that they've learned a couple things about the browsing experience. So maybe it'll just be a little bit better. Like I said, a little bit better.
Well, I think it's reasonable to assume that stuff will eventually arrive on the App Store in one way or another.
Yeah.
Whether it uses this i3D stuff or what, it's hard to say.
Wow, you really wrapped that up real nice.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, it'll be fun to play at least.
Yeah, definitely. I would like to see what will happen in the future. And if I had a tinfoil hat, I'd tell you.
I was setting you up for an Xperia play segue.
You know what? I didn't want to take it. I'd rather go the hard way. And speaking of hard things, boys, Minecraft's coming to Android first on the Xperia Play. Real interesting move from the dudes at Mojang, I thought, at least.
Well, it was kind of weird. I mean, I've been emailing with them for a while, and it sounds like Sony or whoever, let the cat out of the bag, took them by surprise, so.
Yeah, Sony Ericsson threw out an E3 invite that was straight up, hey, Minecraft's coming to Xperia Play.
Yeah.
And now Press are getting Xperia Play units, too, so.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get one because I just think it would be neat to, see how the Gameloft games compare. Because Gameloft has released most of their games on the Xperia Play, or not most of them, but some that are also available on the App Store. I'm really curious to see whether or not the physical controls make that big of a difference.
You know what? I'm gonna try to hit up one of my Sony dudes. Actually, maybe they can help us out a little bit better than the Sony Ericsson fellas. But yeah, okay, so Minecraft, big game, obviously. It's going to be customized to the Xperia Play specifically, its lower screen size and its controls and things like that. And from what I understand, and their statement was really kind of vague, but you kind of get a sense that they're really going to pare down the Minecraft experience to the point where you probably won't be able to connect with anybody else in Minecraft proper, and you probably won't be able to do a lot of the more customizing things that you could do in Minecraft. Play.
I think it's reasonable to assume that whatever iOS specific Minecraft client that we eventually get, because they've said in the past that they're working on it, but I think it's reasonable to assume that it'll be very similar to this.
Yeah,
in regards to its limitations and stuff like that. Anyway, mm-hmm. I mean.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff you wouldn't be able to. I mean, look, with the controller, it's a lot better. I can't wait to actually try out an Xperia Play just because I dig the idea of playing touch games, or not touch games, excuse me, mobile games with a controller.
Well, do you guys think this is going to be a system seller for the Xperia Play?
No.
No.
I would have said that maybe it would be, it would have been, but then after reading about all the limitations of it, it doesn't really sound like, oh my god, you know, I love Minecraft and I can't wait to play it on my phone while I'm on the go. It's like,
yeah,
you know, the difference of, you know, actually what it reminds me of is, like, remember back in the day when they would release, like, games on, you know, like the Super Nintendo,
the Genesis, the Game Boy release.
Yeah, the Game Boy, yeah. The Game Gear release. And, you know, same game, same box art and everything, but it's like, okay, you know, you feel bad for the kids that got, like, the Game Gear version of the game instead of the Genesis.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a weird play by Sony Ericsson, too. I mean, like, those phones are going to sell terribly. I think everybody knows that, too. And I think maybe what's most interesting about the story is the possibility that this could be a PlayStation Suite game, right? So it's on a PlayStation-certified device. The only PlayStation-certified device right now on the market, I believe. And that kind of implies that it's a PlayStation Suite game, which means that it's a cross-platform to some degree. So you'll be able to play this Android version on your NGP as well as other shit.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that was kind of amusing to me about this is that you know, people... I've been kind of following this story kind of closely to, you know, like, pick up little tidbits of iOS news here and there. And the general temperature of internet commenters on this are very angry that, you know, this is going to be an Xperia Play exclusive. But, like, when you think about it, Android... The Android community is so big into hacking stuff that I would give it about 2 to 3 hours, maybe, post-release, mm-hmm. that you'll be able to run on your Droid.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, realistically.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't even worry about it. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's money, right? I mean, these guys are probably rolling in it, but it's an exclusive deal. You can't really blame them. I'd sign the contract.
It might be cool. I mean, like, the Xperia Play to me seems like such an interesting thing to watch. I mean, I'm sure it will do poorly because there's so many bad decisions that they've made along the line.
Yeah.
And, you know, that price point with a 2-year commitment on Verizon just seems like insane.
Jesus. Yeah. Off the chain, was it $299 or $199? Either way, it's crazy.
$199 with a 2-year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, here's what Sony would have had to do to make me be like, oh, that's kind of cool, I might pick one up, is, like, you know, price it in line with existing handheld stuff. Make it GSM and contract-free, kind of like the iPad is, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it would be, like, a reasonable, like, second phone. So you're like, oh man, you know, this cool, like, you know, I want to play Final Fantasy on my phone or whatever. I'm going to pop my SIM into my Xperia Play for a couple days and play this, you know, while I'm on the go. Or maybe not even necessarily require you to pop your SIM into it, but have it treat it like, you know, a PSP Go that also has 3G capabilities.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Instead
with
of
that
it being like this weird Android device that's kind of like an Android phone, but not really, and kind of like a PSP Go, but not really, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think, like, more of the competitors to the iPhone need to realize they need to come out with, like, an iPod Touch competitor, because that's right. What a ton of people buy as a little gaming system, and it does other things too. But, you know, not everyone runs out and wants their phone to be what their iPhone does, or iOS, you know. So,
I mean, the contract thing is what kills the Xperia Play for me. The contract and Verizon exclusivity. You know,
yeah,
if it
totally.
If it was GSM, same price, no contract, I would likely impulse buy one.
I would buy one even if it was just Wi-Fi. I mean, just to have a little...
Well, it's called the PSP Go, but you're not going to be able to play
yeah.
that's
true.
Like, that's what's so crazy about this to me.
Well, the PSP Go is, what, like $250 or something.
They don't even sell them anymore, I don't think.
No, you keep that thing, Eli. It's a collector's item.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's that. I mean...
Another interesting thing to watch. I guess.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, we'll just give it a couple months. I guess we're going to learn more at E3, which starts on June 7th. So look forward to that, folks. And actually...
Segway!
Wow, a real segue. I had one, guys. I had one that I totally just didn't think about it.
They're so much better when they're forced, Brad. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? This is going to be my thing. Going to be my thing. Anyway, so we're going to be at E3, as in Eli Hodep is going to be wandering the halls of the Behemoth conference.
Yeah, I haven't really decided what days we're going to be there yet, because WWDC lands on the same time, which originally, when we were discussing it, we were like, oh, this is great, you know, because who's going to want to go to E3 when, you know, you have an official Apple conference on the same weekend? But it turned out that all the WWDC tickets sold out in about 20 minutes, so that made, you know, the decision very easy for everyone that didn't, you know, instantly buy a WWDC ticket.
Man.
So there's going to be a lot of iOS stuff at E3.
Well, hey, And if you want to, actually, if you're a developer and you're listening to this for some reason, still...
Yeah, please email us.
Yeah, tips.
Regardless of what event you're going to.
Yeah, tips at toucharcade.com, right?
Yeah, and include the event in the subject, so either WWDC 2011 or E3 2011.
And send nude photos for Eli.
Ugh, no.
Oy.
No more. No more of those.
No more. That's the easiest way to get our attention, though, let me tell you. okay, at this point in the show, we'd be talking about feedback and stuff, but the first episode, so we don't have any.
It's kind of interesting. Feedback. I told you, Brad, I was going to grade you at the end.
And
of the
I was
show.
About ready to mention that. Go ahead, Eli. But what are your feedback? How you feeling this
overall
episode?
Enthusiasm? I would give you a-.
Okay. Okay.
Work safeness, I would give you a C+.
Yeah.
Forced segue ability, I would give you an A.
Good, good, okay. Okay, that's what I was shooting for.
And putting up with my white noise, I would give you A+.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there other categories that need to be graded?
I don't think so. I'm not too concerned about work safetyness. This will definitely be an explicit podcast. And anybody out there who listens to podcasts on the radio while they're at work, dude, put on headphones, because you're a jerk.
It always amazes me when people get all worked up over work safe stuff. It's like, you know, if something that can be displayed or played on your computer could get you fired, maybe you should not be doing things on your computer at work.
Absolutely, especially if you're playing something. Because I tell you what, if I'm trying to work and some asshole's got YouTube open or is listening to a podcast with three jerks talking about iOS games, I'd be pissed.
Like, we get the weirdest comments from people that are, like, angry that we include, like, a Penny Arcade image that has the word shit in it. And it's like, oh my god, I almost got fired because of that. Thanks a lot, guys.
Can you imagine the boss and be like, hey, hold on a second, Bob.
Hey, let me see that
What's in that comic book picture? Does that say shit? You're fired. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out. This is a Christian organization. Get your fucking bags. Get out.
Yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah, me either. But,
anyway, so.
Yeah, that was an awesome tangent. Okay, so if you want to contact us, please do so. podcast@toucharcade.com. Also, you can contact us through our social feeds, facebook.com/toucharcade, twitter.com/toucharcade, and of course, you got to read our website, toucharcade.com. That's where all this hot shit be happening, son, and a lot of work safeness. You know, just don't look at the comic pictures.
Yeah, whatever you do, avert your eyes.
Absolutely, absolutely. I feel like this was a good one. As we keep going, just listener, as we keep podcasting and stuff, we'll get used to each other's style and breakpoints and stuff like that. We won't step on each other's toes so much. It's kind of a process. But hey, if you got anything to say, just throw it our way in those three outlets that I mentioned. Or you
also,
know,
yeah, segue suggestions.
Yeah, yeah, segue suggestions. Actually, send
we'll
us your best.
Force them into the show.
Absolutely. Send your best segue suggestions to podcast@toucharcade.com. I'll be sure to try to fit a couple of those in. And that'd be quite fun, actually. So, yeah, send us any game questions, any whatever. Just, you know, anything you want to know about us or whatever.
Also, I was thinking about, if this sounds like fun, we can do it. But
yeah,
I was thinking of being a Google Voice mailbox. And people can call in, and we could play anything funny.
Yeah, let's set that up. What's the phone number?
Or otherwise, amusing. I haven't registered yet.
Okay.
So.
Okay. In our post, you will have a post that directs you to this podcast. If you're listening to the podcast, you have to look for the post if you didn't see it first. But
it sounds like something that would be fun. We can do it.
Yeah. In our post, we'll have the phone number for that, and we'll see how we can fit that in. That should be pretty rad. Make sure, though, if you are going to record a phone call, use your iPhone headsets and I guess headset, yeah, right, with the voice thingy.
Oh, the worse audio quality, the better.
Yeah, the worse audio quality.
Go to your local Army surplus store and buy, like, a walkie-talkie used during World War II. Just call
I agree.
I will split out a bonus podcast of just terrible recordings if you do this to me. But, yeah, I don't know exactly the legality of that either. Can people just send us shit I got and we can just use it?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, fine. All right, sounds great. So, okay, look at that post. Get our phone number. Give us a ring-a-ling. We'll pick up the. We won't pick up the honker, but we'll pick up your voicemail.
Could
that you left
up,
us.
We could. I'll forward it to your cell phone, and you can surprise.
No.
Answering.
That sounds like a great idea.
Yo, my
yeah,
phone
their,
is
their
off.
Witty message all thought up, and then you're like, "Hello."
My phone is already off the chain because it's E3 time of the year, and I've worked for so many outlets, guys, and like I get calls for every one of them. I had one person that called me twice for two different outlets. I'm just like, yo, man, I'm not the person responsible for that. I just freelance.
It irritates me when people call me about stuff like that. Like, that's why I have emails, so I can filter it and deal with it in a timely manner.
You know, it's just not, like
book your appointment while I'm driving to, you know, Starbucks.
And no offense, but like, seriously, like, if you have a third tier C-rate game at E3 and you expect me, and theoretically, let's say I was with a big website, the ones I've worked for before. Theoretically, if you think they're going to spend their resources checking out your MMO, dude, they're not. I mean, like, Bioshock Infinite's around the corner, and so is the new Batman. Like, I mean, I know you mean well, and you got to try, but don't get pissed, because I've had people get pissed at me. I don't like that. I don't like them. What? What are you talking about? What are you going to be doing? I don't know. I'm going to be going to E3, guys.
You're too busy to see My Little Pony Adventures Part 3.
What the hell? Get out of here. That's not safe for work. All right. So thank you so much for listening to the Touch Arcade Show first episode. You know how to get a hold of us. Eli, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jared, thank you so
much. C-minus on that. Thank you, by the way. It was not sincere.
Jared, thank you.
My pleasure.
Ooh, the soft beardy voice.
Sexy voice time.
Catch us next week, next Friday, or maybe, hey, even Thursday. I don't know exactly when exactly I'll finish these podcasts, but hey, next week, new show, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. We're basically all married to this, you know, until we die. We've taken our vows. So get ready next week, new podcast, new hot sounds.
New segues.
New segues. Peace out.
New grading system.